Welcome to How Can We Help? So this is an advice. Welcome. It is an advice podcast where we advise the freaks, the ghouls, the needy little creeps of the world in their various problems, specifically by soliciting anonymous questions online. And we got a lot of them.
Purely anonymous.
Here, as always, episode one, is your host, Jackie Pirico.
Hi. Thanks for having me on this.
Oh, you're very welcome, Jackie. It's always a pleasure. I don't know what we'd do without you.
Can I say something? When Mark pitched this concept to me, I was like, oh my God, that sounds so familiar. I feel like someone's pitched that to me before, or have I done that before? Remember?
Yeah.
And I was just with my friends from last Sabbath, and they're like, Jackie, you did this as a live show. I did this as a live show pre-pandemic.
You pitched it to yourself.
I'm pickled. I have no memory.
You live a party girl's lifestyle.
I'm a party girl. That's what you got to know. I'm a party girl, and I can't remember any party that I've ever been to.
You're hitting the slopes.
Yeah.
You might be hearing a third voice, and yes, that is just me doing a laid-back accent.
Is that me? Laid-back accent?
It's LA's finest, Brandon Wardell, joining us.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Okay. Jackie, what the hell is new? What have you been up to?
Well, this week, I was humbled this week, actually, because my dad has his famous big purple bowl that he keeps all of his change in.
Yeah, everyone is talking about
it. I know about that.
You know my dad's famous purple bowl?
The Pirico
bowl. Well, hands off of it, okay? My brother's always, like, picking at it because he lives in my same town as my parents and I don't. And so my brother's always got his paws in this bowl. And there's good stuff in there. Toonies, loonies.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like a big
bowl.
That's
one thing that I'm not rocking with in Canada. Your money's fake. Loonies and Toonies is weird to me.
Look,
can't
help
Toonies
it.
Feels like a bridge too far.
Loonies and Toonies is goofy, and you guys know that.
We do, of course. Yeah,
spoken like a man who's not ready for the fucking three-knee. Coming soon to a heavy pocket near you.
Okay, I did not mean to. To interrupt the change.
I have a soft spot for the toonie because it came out on my birthday in 1996. So I was the first person to have one because I got one for my birthday.
Wow.
But anyway, they are ridiculous. But this bowl of change, they really add up, obviously. Yeah. Right?
Have you heard that they're going to put King Charles on the money now? So now.
No.
Yeah,
oh.
Instead
what is
of,
the point?
Instead of the polar bear.
Oh my God. The polar
It'll
bear.
It'll be King Charles on one side and the queen on the other?
That is so stupid and pointless. Because it's on its way out anyway. What, he just has to have his face on that money?
What's the lowest bill?
Are you kidding?
You guys have?
I don't actually know. I was just guessing.
Five. That bothers me.
It should be low. We should go lower. We should have ones.
I like having ones.
We used to have twos. Nice brown twos. You would have loved
our
them.
Our twos were beautiful.
Oh my God. You would have fucking died for these twos.
I don't like that your ones are coins.
Yeah. But
yeah,
our twos,
really
how
irritating.
Do you feel about those being coins? Hate that.
I don't like that either.
Yeah, I hate that even more, I bet.
You want
don't
paper.
Get me started.
You got steam coming out of your ears.
I really, no.
But don't you even like the what about the quality of the paper of our money? Don't you like that?
Oh, it's a little bit plasticky.
Yeah, it's indestructible.
The quality of the paper is better.
Yeah.
That is something I will give you guys.
Yes, thank you.
That is one thing that I will give you guys. Ours, you can rip U.S.
easily.
Currency way too easily.
Yeah, it's an easy rip.
It's way too easy of a rip. Yeah,
no structural integrity.
Yeah, your structural integrity with the cashier is a little better,
it's
I suppose.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Our strong money, you know, you might not think that's enough to hang your hat on, but we hang our hats on it.
Yeah.
we gotta hang our hats somewhere.
And let me tell you, in this weather, we're all wearing hats. Okay, Jackie, you're talking about your dad's famous bowl.
This bowl of money, it's got a lot of money in it. And then when I was back recently, my dad's like, oh, you want my bowl of money? I'm like, yeah, I want that bowl of money. Mm-hmm. So he dumps it into a big Ziploc bag for me. But you need to go to the bank to get the rolls, right?
Yeah.
And I go there and I'm like, I need a coin rolls. And they looked at me like I was a dirty, disgusting, fucking loser peasant. Oh, you need coin rolls? They're like, ugh, you need coin rolls? And they're like, how many do you need? I don't know. That's determined by the when I roll them. That's how I know how much money I have.
Yeah.
I'm not eyeballing this like a jelly bean, a bin of jelly beans at the fair. So they give me a scant like handful. There's some for nickels and there's dimes. Ugh. Bye. And then I got enraged because I'm like, I give this bank so much money and they take so much of my money.
Yeah.
And they can't even give me some fucking cardboard.
Yeah.
To roll my coins? I was enraged.
Yeah.
You tell him.
Anyway,
you
I rolled it all up. And even not including the toonies and loonies, $98 in dimes and nickels.
Ooh, yes,
my fingers were black.
Okay. What bank was this?
TD Canada Trust.
TD Canada
Trust.
Trust.
Yeah, and I'm calling
What's
them
the
out?
Address.
Yeah. This one was on college. This
hey
one
guys,
really
if you're
close.
Listening, you gotta send a message. We gotta send yeah. a message after the way they wronged her.
They
yeah, it's
need,
time
I,
to.
I need the listeners at home to throw a rock through this window.
And while they're at it, grab me some more dime rolls because I've yep. got some dimes left
that
over.
Too.
Yeah,
and
Jackie's got. Yeah, well. Write a note on the rock that says Jackie's got some loose dimes.
But don't ask her how many. Don't ask her how much.
Don't
so that was like a one portion of my week.
Yeah. Well, I saw Pinocchio.
Oh, the Guillermo del Toro.
Oh,
I saw Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio.
I haven't seen it yet.
Well, so we know this part of the story.
My boy Finn.
Finn Wolfhard.
Yeah.
Yeah. How do you know him?
That's my boy.
Is he your boy?
That's so, my boy.
He was once our boy,
that's
wasn't
little,
he?
That's little bro.
Have you hung out with him?
We met through some like weird circumstances where he was going to like play. There was like a role that was written for me. Like it said Brandon in the script. Mm. And then a couple years passed, whatever. The character was young. And then the network wanted Finn Wolfhard to play Brandon.
Ouch.
And this is before we met. And then we met at some event. And he weirdly recognized me and my friend. He's like, he knows comedy pretty well. And so I immediately was like, son, we need to talk. Like,
yeah.
I'm Brandon.
I could see this spiraling into like a black swan then, situation.
Well, yeah, because yeah. I was just like, oh, this kid's eating my lunch.
Yeah.
But we ended up, yeah, we ended up
hanging out.
And he's, yeah, he's great. He's awesome. And he like has like cool taste. Like he like likes like the right kind of comedy.
Right. So, okay, good.
Yeah, like
but
hard,
but that's
like
easy
edgy
for you to say because he likes your comedy.
Caution tape yeah. over the mouth.
Yeah, he's like...
off the leash.
Yeah, yeah.
The poster is you wearing a dog, spiky dog collar
do like
with a leash is snapped in half.
I like that there's still guys doing the caution tape over
yeah,
the I think that Schultz did it in like a Netflix thumbnail.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
Wait, so what were you... I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, who gives a shit?
About,
I met
please.
Finn Wolfhard once. He
yeah.
and his whole gang from Stranger Things fucking... They made me bite a curb and they stomped my brains.
See, they've got good taste.
And I was like, thank you, Finn. And he was like, don't fucking look at me. Don't say my name. I'm royalty here.
Shit, where was that, Vancouver?
No,
LA?
That was in my own home. I was on the curb outside my home. And he kept winking at my girlfriend inside and,
oh,
say,
God,
and telling her,
cucked.
Don't, he said, don't, he, she was holding a phone and he kept miming, hang it up,
yeah.
hang it up, don't you call anyone.
Oh, I thought that he was like, call me, babe.
No, she was holding the phone.
You know what's funny? I've never met him. Even though you and you both have met him.
Yeah.
Well, I met him so briefly. It's hard for me to say. I don't know him, but I know the taste of his boot.
He has the look of, because like it's interesting that he's like a musician as well. Because doesn't he have that look of like late 70s, kind of the class? Like, he
yeah,
looks
he's
like
got
he
like,
like
a glam rock star
Yeah, he has a
vibe.
Real glam rock just
cool.
like
yeah.
look.
Yeah, like he could be in the like English rock scene.
Yeah. yeah.
Doing a lot of cocaine and kind of dying at 28.
He's actually,
yeah,
he's
yeah.
like.
Oh,
he's,
I would love to see him die
he's
at 28.
Like, he's like so smart for his age. Like he actually groomed me. Which is crazy.
You're being groomed right now?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He groomed me.
All right. What's his address? Let's dox.
What
Let's
is
get him out there.
What is your age difference? What is it? How young is he?
Old enough. He's 19.
Oh, my
yeah.
God.
He's not that young. Is he really?
I'm 30, yeah.
Oh.
He's
wow.
like, maybe he's 20 at this point.
Okay.
Yeah.
But who does he play? Look, I haven't even seen any trailers for Pinocchio.
Oh, yeah,
so
who does he play in
he
Pinocchio?
Playing?
I don't know.
Yeah,
oh, wait,
I'm not
you
sure.
saw it.
Oh, sorry, he's the only live-action character.
Oh.
He's the one who keeps telling Pinocchio to bite the fucking curb.
Okay.
No, I don't know who he plays, but here's my takeaway from Pinocchio, and I don't think I really, but you know, it's like, so Geppetto's like son dies. They don't
right.
really forefront that in the Disney version, but like his son dies and then he builds this puppet to like replace his son. Anyway, it's kind of fun. I was like, wait a second, is this movie just about like a guy failing to go through the final stage of grief and then getting rewarded for it? Just an angel shows up
yeah.
like, all right, we'll let you off the hook. You don't have to accept this grief. But it was fine. I don't know. It was
they
an okay
really
movie.
Didn't front load that in the Disney one. I didn't realize.
They
Did
should,
they even mention
they
it?
They should do that with grief more.
They should do that with
yeah,
grief.
Yeah,
yeah, let us all off the hook. Yeah.
They need to be doing this more.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah, they. You're really looking all over.
Yeah.
Me. Who's responsible
yeah.
for this grief thing? Who can let me off the hook? But before we dive in, Brandon, what's new with you, may I ask?
I'm just here in town. I did my shows in Toronto, and then we met at your show last night.
Yeah.
That was a super fun show.
Yeah, it was a fun show. And we don't want to slander the people who were nice enough to host you and let you put to like at the venue that was
nice enough to host you, but the venue that I was at, I've heard crazy things about locally.
So Brandon was performing at, for anyone local who might know this, there's the Royal Theater, and it's it was started during the pandemic as like the anti-vax theater.
Which I did not know.
No, of course they didn't want you to know that.
And I mean, I had a great, the people that were at the shows were just people that like saw my Instagram story or whatever.
So you didn't know that they were anti-vax. It's just like a full coincidence because you yourself are anti-vax.
Yeah, it just worked out that way for you.
You guys, this I love your shirt you're wearing right now, which is a mask with a equals Nazi symbol on it.
Yeah, so that's cool. It is. Yeah, there's a mask crossed out and a full swastika.
Yeah, the Nazi part is good. Yeah, it's positive.
But I was treated well at the venue. I had a good time at the venue. The people that were in attendance at the show were like normal people that are just fans of mine.
Yes, you brought the crowd.
It was funny. Yeah, you told me some stuff, and a couple locals have been like, oh, yeah, some wild shit goes down here.
Yeah, I heard there was a fist fight on stage last week.
No, that's not true.
That's what I heard. I don't know.
Because sometimes he preys on me because I am very gullible and I will believe a lot of stuff. Is that really, did you really hear that?
Yes, I heard that one of the people fighting was Finn Wolfhard. And the other was me? Oh, God, how can that be?
When you say fist fight, it was a curb stomp.
Yeah, there's a curb involved. It gets buck there. It's like very
I have heard that too.
There's like, it's just kind of
like a dark energy to
there's
it.
There's just, yeah.
Okay, Jackie, you are not a licensed therapist.
Never have been.
You have never gone to school for psychiatry or anything of that
people
nature.
People never give me licenses for anything.
Oh, yeah, people, yeah.
I'm famously unlicensed.
Famously unlicensed.
Do you drive?
No, I'm not licensed anymore.
Wow.
I was.
Unlicensed.
Unlicensed.
But. If I may say, the owner of many keen and loud opinions on how to live.
Yes, I am. I am staunchly, opinionated on on interpersonal matters.
Yeah, and if I may say, I think the wider world agrees with that characterization because when you solicited questions for this podcast, like ask people to send in anonymous questions. I was expecting really frivolous, silly questions, maybe five of them. We were both hoping we'd get one or two questions.
Yeah, we were praying.
There was dozens, and some of them were really like...
Real.
Not only really real, but really real in a way that seemed specifically tailored to something you might be able to help them with.
Right.
Some people really hope that you can help them.
I know, and now I'm like, shit.
Yeah, and this is a bit terrifying because this was not what we were hoping to do with this podcast.
Look, you can't be terrified. We can't both be terrified.
I'm not terrified. I'm terrified on your behalf.
Oh, God.
I'm happy to be the fly in the ointment to tell half of these people to end themselves because their problems are insurmountable.
We got an onslaught of questions. We got like within a day, I had like 50 questions.
Yes, that's right. So without further ado, I'm going to read one of these questions. And
of course, our guest is going to be...
Brandon is our guest advisor for the episode, and we're happy to hear what he has to say too.
Even though he's also unlicensed.
Yes.
To drive also?
Yeah, no, I am very licensed to drive.
Can you drive me around places after this?
I guess so. You've got a driving license to kill.
Yeah, you've got 007 stuff.
12 hours.
Okay, Jackie, here's our first question. Okay. Jackie, I need your help. This is submitted anonymously. Jackie, I need your help. I have a colleague who is really cramping my style. She takes up so much of my time when I'm trying to get work done talking, talking and taking and going on about personal stuff and always interrupting me. She's a super intense person, and sometimes she's also coming to my office to cry. I don't know what to do. I've tried my best to set clear boundaries and be clear that I have to get back to work, but she doesn't get the message. It's really hard to concentrate and get stuff done when I'm always getting interrupted. I don't want to have my door shut or headphones on all the time, but I will sometimes just to concentrate. Sometimes she'll knock anyways and barge in. I have to talk to her for work purposes as well, but these conversations drag on as well. Help, how do I get her to leave me alone?
Oh my God.
Signed, bad colleague lady, need help. I'm making up these names.
The crying is like, have I worked with this person in the past and this is their way of telling me? Was I going into an office crying? I have cried in offices a lot.
I should say all of these are thinly veiled attacks on you and your character.
When I was reading through them, one of them did seem like a thinly veiled attack on me. I will say that.
Wow.
But not this one. You know what? My instinct here.
Jackie, how do I get a so-called friend to respond to me without going along with her comedy career shenanigans?
I won't say the one that I thought was veiled at me because we might do it. But my instinct in this situation is like, that would infuriate me. Like, this person's frustration is so relatable. I don't want to talk to anyone ever.
I'm curious about the nature of the work.
Yeah, good question.
Right, because like I do think that is an important detail that was left out.
Yeah.
But like if you're at work, I feel like work is a good excuse to be like, oh, I'm working.
Absolutely.
And it sounds like this person isn't assertive enough.
And oh, I mean, yes. Know what it sounds like? A combination of, you're right. This person's not assertive enough. Like, and the other person has no ability to read cues. No boundaries and
I
no cues.
I just want to say, any time with any of these questions, the more we can lean this towards victim blaming, the happier I'm going to be. I want us to go in on these writers.
But I would be in this writer's boat because I'm too polite. I get really enraged in social situations and frustrated, and I'm too polite to say anything. So know what I would do in this situation is a very weak, very cowardly thing, is I would lie and say, look, and the next time they come in, I'd be like, oh my God, you know what? I got in trouble for talking too much to people at work. Like, I would say I got in trouble. I'd say I had a meeting with HR and they are pissed because I'm just talking. And I would say, I've been talking to so many people in their offices and I've been crying in other people's offices too. And HR called me in and they're almost are going to fire me. So I can't, you got to save me.
Said,
don't come in here.
HR kept telling me to stop crying.
Yeah.
They said, oh, what's it about even?
Right. And I wouldn't tell them. But yeah, and I would kind of make that person maybe feel quite unspecial by like letting on like I've been doing everyone. And then that would be my lie.
Is evil way to deal with it.
Look, this is how I operate in my life.
I mean, you have to like be manipulative.
Yes, yeah. But you know what? That person's like, manipulating her.
You know, this
I know 100%. Yeah. And the only way to circumvent that, or the only way to fight fire with fire
is with fire.
The only way to fight fire with fire is
a big
fire.
Old fireball.
Hey, if you're gonna fight fire with fire, you're gonna need some fire.
Yeah,
like take it as a given.
I think this person ready. They should kill this person.
That would be the easiest way out.
If there's anything we've learned from Single White Female and other movies about strange interlopers in your life who slowly take up all your time, it's that the only way out is to kill them. They're not going to get the message.
I think, problem solved. Kill them.
I am so evasive in these situations. Like, I had a similar situation. It's not a work thing, but I was living in an apartment where the next door neighbor became like single white female to me.
Ooh.
And she was obsessed. And
someone people get obsessed with.
Do you mean that?
Yes,
it does
I do
happen.
Mean
it
that.
Has happened. Yeah.
Yeah. And you have and now you have this outward facing bartender job and you perform on stage. So many people think they know you so intimate and you're so generous with your time.
I guess that is true. Backbone.
You've been podcasting before. This is like,
No, I've just been guests on podcasts. This is my first time I have my own one. Yeah. Well, but I've been a comic in the city for like 10 years.
Well, yeah, if you want, if you want people to stop, weirdos to stop having a weird parasocial relationship with you,
then don't do a podcast.
Start a podcast. Awesome. people are weird to you because they feel
they
like they
know
you.
Good
thing you're starting a podcast.
I've got just the prescription for
you. Well, actually, I do have a brief story.
Yes, please.
From the other night.
Oh, okay.
Please.
Vis-a-vis people, just like parasocial folks who just like, they know too much about you. You don't know anything about them.
I love this fucking word.
I've never even heard this word.
We don't use this in Canada.
I love it.
Well,
we say all dress
relationships. You know, I'm importing.
Bring us all your fancy
the word.
Words.
But I was doing some. I was like setting up a premise. Like I was like just. I was just being like, oh yeah, I started jacking off too late in life. Like some guy in just lurking in the shadows before I even continue the premise, he's just like 16.
And he's heard it before.
Because he heard me talk about it on a podcast. Oh. And I was like, oh, it's so funny that this dude is just in the shadows.
Yes.
You know nothing of me. I know everything of you.
Yeah. Like, and then it's something like, especially that crazy. Intimate too.
Yeah.
16.
Something like, but that's like my fault.
Right. I like, mean, yeah, we
I
share.
I have like casually volunteered information in a way that like every time I record a podcast, I black out. Mm. And then like I come to and it's like, oh, I just told strangers
shared so
much.
Yeah. I feel the same way every time I've like guested on a podcast. I'm always saying such intimate shit like about my dad and like and like my parents' relationship, like I stuff I never say on stage. Yeah. And then afterwards I get that fear, kind of like that kind of like post-party fear that you'll have the next day when you're like even like blabbing at a kitchen island till 6 in the morning and you're like, everybody knows so fucking much about me right now.
I was doing that last night with some locals. I don't know. I don't know what I was saying. Last night I was what's that place like? Todd's Collision and Repair.
Ted's Collision.
Ted's
Collision.
Yeah, I don't think it's and repair, but I like that part.
Yeah. I was in there blabbing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
When I do a podcast, I also get too revealing, but what I reveal is my deep anger towards the Canadian entertainment industry.
Yes, that does come through, doesn't
it? That comes through. So I do a lot of, like, I'll be in the middle of a podcast, like, oh, let's put a gun in the mouth of Dan Levy. And then I'm like, oh, shit, I can't say that.
But you can, because of the Canadian entertainment industry, you will never be heard by anyone that will give us any opportunities. We'll never hear the podcast.
Nice. Oh, you have to check out some of our shows, Brandon. You have to dip your toe into Murdoch Mysteries. A show shot entirely in sepia tone.
I hear him say Murdoch Mysteries several times a week.
It's insane. It's our most popular show, maybe in Canadian history.
It?
It's like a guy in the late 1800s.
It's like a poor man's Sherlock based in Canada. Yeah. So it's like revealing all of this very specific Canadian history through like a mystery show.
Yeah, but here's the thing is that Murdoch solves like quaint little mysteries, but in the course of the show, he ends up like rubbing elbows with every famous historical person from that period.
Yes.
And like, so he'll like, you know, solve a mystery, but somehow give Tesla the idea for the coil in the middle there.
Right. It's almost like a Forrest Gump thing where he's like has a hand in all of these historical moments.
It's Canada's Forrest Gump.
Can I tell you, I've never seen a single, even a minute of it.
Of Murdoch Mysteries?
I've never seen a single minute.
Oh, you love the scene where he sits on the park bench telling a lady his woes. While comparing them to chocolate.
I've read through the whole series.
I just remembered a Canadian TV related thing where there was, when I was in Vancouver, and this is an American comic who did this, but I won't say their name. But
just their address is fine.
Yeah, just their address. But there's this comic who, he like, I don't know. He was hitting the slopes. Mm-hmm. I was too. I don't mean to like just incriminate him and like not me, but this is like not a guy that I hang out with, nor a guy that I really like want to.
But the slopes really bring us together,
but
don't
he,
they?
Like, he was pulling up. He was like he was on YouTube, and it was like me, him, and this comic from Vancouver who we talked about this situation later, and he was pulling up a clip of like Gary D's like sitcom.
Jerry D.
Yeah. And
go on.
And she was like just like a bad clip from the sitcom. And then like while we're like on coke,
they were bragging about this, like, look at this cool,
like,
show we've
well,
got.
Well, no, like this wasn't even the Vancouver comic.
Oh,
this was like
sorry.
An American comic who kinda has like bad taste. Who like pulled this up. And then she's like, you got to understand that what he did is like the equivalent of like in America, if somebody was like doing lines and was like, oh man, I got to show you this clip of Last Man Standing, you know, like it was like wild.
Like,
it was a wild
yes.
move. Bro was coked out, pulling up like like Pablo Francisco clips and shit. Like, it was like really weird behavior where I was like,
hell?
This is not who I have never been around that before. Usually it's just like, oh, like people pull up songs they
yes,
like.
Yes, yes. That's you know? Bad. That's a yeah. YouTube DJ at any time of night. It's like, yeah. Oh no, now we're into the weeds here with the YouTube DJ. Right. But then we've got Jerry D. Well, listen, I don't want to starstruck you or starstruck
no,
you.
This is
I don't
want be
I'm
opposite.
Glad you're sitting down.
Yeah.
But right here in this very room, we have a celebrity, a star, a main principal role on Jerry D.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
But don't bowl over. I'm I don't sorry. Want you to get shy now.
No, no.
I didn't mean to. Yeah.
No, Mark
anything,
will agree
I
with you.
I hope it was my character that was inspiring so much ire.
It was. It definitely. I don't think it was. I think it was the main guy. It was.
It was the main guy,
I
certainly.
Mean, it's definitely like, I have, yeah, I mean.
Mark, sorry, your role wasn't big enough to get on this YouTube channel yeah. at 6
only
in the morning.
On the call sheet.
I mean, I, like, I am very familiar with being an actor in something that you would not personally vouch for
yeah.
Amongst your friends, you know? I am
that
familiar
so
with
that.
Funny. I have, and
we've
I've been
there.
In, I've been in a low amount of, like the filmography is small enough that people can figure it out. Like,
yeah. I don't know if I. Yeah, it's tough. It's tough out here.
It's tough out here. Oh, but sorry. Back to the evasion of this matter, like being evasive in these troubles, like
oh,
this
please.
Woman.
Yes, please.
My single white female was this neighbor who was like obsessed. Mm-hmm. She got really mad that I like got a boyfriend, and she was like, would be calling me like, I made supper. I wasn't even her roommate.
Oh,
she was
no.
like, I made supper across the hall. Where are you? I'm like, I'm out with my new boyfriend. Anyway, then she was moving it. My roommate was moving out. My roommate said, oh, don't worry. I've filled my room already. She's moving in. I was like, no. So know what I did to, this is like, I'm just relating this because this is how like evasive and manipulative I am. And
are
a
we
coward.
Still on the, we're still on the first question.
Yeah, we're on the
right?
first question, but don't worry. Okay. Maybe we'll only do one or two. I moved. I found an apartment really quickly.
Wow.
Really quickly.
Wow.
And I ran away. Like, that's how, this is why I'm not licensed to give anyone advice on interpersonal things. And I moved
because
so quickly.
Run away from your problems.
I ran away. Yeah, I ran away from my problems. And I ran away so quickly that the day that she was moving in with her cat. And I was like moving out with my cat. And I didn't know what to do with my cat's poo pan. So all the last thing I did before I left that house was I poured my cat's poo pan with my cat's poo in it into her cat's poo pan. So there's like so much poo in one pan.
Oh,
and I
God.
Laughed and I ran away and I moved away.
That's a really devilish final shot.
Yeah. I was in scamp mode.
Yeah, you were in scamp mode.
That's
in scamper
scamp mode
yeah.
for sure.
So anyways, that's my way of facing my problem. So shall we move on to the next? Do you think we've helped this person?
Yeah, so I think the messages that we're all leaving her with are, Brandon says, kill the colleague.
Kill.
Yeah. You say, quit your job and
no,
find a new job.
No,
basically, that's
well,
what you're saying.
That's what I said with that. But no, I just think that you should flip it around and show and kind of show the person
oh,
what they're
right.
like. Hold a mirror up to the person
you
and be
say,
like, I'm in trouble for doing all the things she's doing. I'm talking to everybody. I got caught for going into people's offices and crying and like
yeah.
not doing enough work and talking too much. And I'm going to get in trouble. So don't come in. Here.
And I would say that the potential danger there is that the colleague lacks the self-awareness to even understand that that might impact
that,
them.
That's true.
Here's my, so I'm going to take yeah. what I thought was yours then, quit
Please.
The job.
You
quit the job, find a new job, or work so hard you get promoted.
Or, to a bigger office with tougher locks on the door.
Or honestly, drive your colleague insane by slashing their tires and spray painting specific insults
yeah.
on their car.
Insidious and, mind games.
Yeah, play insidious mm-hmm. games. Okay, here's question number two. My mom is amazing and gave me a great childhood and is so generous, but she sniffles all the time. And I have had bad misophonia for that stuff. Mm-hmm. So every time, I have bad misophonia for that stuff. So every time she does it, I feel my blood boiling like I'm losing my mind. How can I learn to tune it out and appreciate her for her lifetime of love and not her dumb, annoying nose.
Wait,
well,
so what's
wow.
the, wait, sorry. What, the,
her, oh, I didn't read that smoothly
her
enough.
Mom, her
stumbling
mom makes,
every other word.
Her mom makes weird
sniffling sounds. Like
sniffling sounds?
Like just has like a stuffy nose.
And
it drives this girl crazy because she has
like
misophonia.
Fixated on it.
Yeah, so do you know misophonia is like, it's like a psychological hang up where people get like really, it's almost like a sensory sensitivity where people get really mad about like noises, like chewing noises do it to people.
Right,
yeah,
right.
It's the same same phenomenon. Yeah. So she's getting this for her mom. But the funniest
like the
thing I find.
Of ASMR.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It puts you in a rage rather than like, we'll soothe you.
Yeah.
But it's so funny. At least I just think it's so funny that the good childhood is brought into it. Because, of course, if she was a negligent, bad shit parent, we could hang her to dry for this sniffling.
Yeah, the sniffling would just be the tip of the iceberg.
How do you, and is she sniffling regularly?
It like, sounds like it.
It sounds very
like
regular.
Every day?
Sounds like she probably has like an allergy that she's not addressing.
Yeah, get your mom some allergy meds.
Yeah, or like go on an elimination diet.
Boom. Next question. Honestly, next question.
I resonate with this question so much because my mom has that. And I always say to my mom's always like, always sniffing. Or she's always like, oh, is it stuffy in here? I'm like, she's always like, oh, I just suddenly got stuffed up all of a
sudden. Your mom's always hitting the slope.
Yes, you know what? I mean, I wouldn't put it past my dad.
Yeah.
But my mom, that would really blow me away.
My
mom
always has the sniffles and gets so hyper.
And my mom's always talking to me about her childhood.
Oh, I've got such a random mom.
And she's on YouTube constantly.
Oh, she's so random. Yeah. Her mood just fluctuates. And she's always got a dusty nose.
Yeah, my mom's always cornering me and telling me about business ideas.
Yeah, don't you hate it when your mom gets in your face around 7 p.m. to talk about crypto? Okay.
What are you gonna do? Know what I say to my mom all the time? I'm because I get really like annoyed with that too. I don't have misophonia really, but I'm just like, I say, do you need a Kleenex? And she's always like, no. And that makes me even more mad.
That's it. See, this is the difficulty with your roundabout sort of passive-aggressive approaches is that these people lack self-awareness.
Yeah, but
you
I
think
mean,
you're talking to someone like you, but you're talking to a freak like your mom.
Yeah, but know what my mom does? She's just like, my mom doesn't lack self-awareness because me
it's
and her are
like,
the same.
You need to be more direct.
Yes.
I know. I need to write into another self-help column and say.
What the hell?
But I've had said before, I said, you know what? You're probably allergic to gluten because sometimes when people have a gluten thing and they'll have a glass of wine or like a beer, they'll get stuffy noses. So I'm like, it's probably a gluten thing. You know what I would advise this person to do? Before they say anything to their mom, sit them down and hold her hand and sit and look her in the eye and thank her for your amazing childhood.
Yes.
That's the first thing.
Yeah.
And then say, look, something's got to be done. You've got to go. You got to like take an allergy test. I'd say I booked you at a naturopath for an allergy prick test.
That's nice. Right.
That's a
so
gift.
The naturopath called. Turns out you're a prick.
And turns out my childhood was not all it was cracked up to be.
The naturopath and I got real into it.
Yeah, disguise it as a gift and say, I'd love to help you get to the bottom of this before I wring your neck. My brother has misophonia, and after school I'd be eating cereal.
Oh, no.
And he'd be like, and he would be like enraged.
Oh yeah, I had to have a conversation with my girlfriend about biting the fork. Or biting the spoon when she eats cereal, or biting the fork when she eats food.
Like, you hear like clean.
The sound of the little tooth on fork.
Not great.
I can't do
not
that one.
Sound.
That's not one I can do.
What kind of cereal are we talking?
For me, it was really crunchy. I loved Corn Pops so much. Corn Pops and Fruit Loops, like the really sharp ones.
Oh, I wish it was that. With my girlfriend, it's this brand called Lil Forks. And it's just like, these tiny little clinky clanks. It's a nightmare.
Just mini fork cereal that you eat with a fork.
Oh, it's so
that
stupid.
That is a recipe.
Where's
for that.
The milk go? Right out, right. Through the tines.
how did your girlfriend take it? No. This is good advice for this person.
She, I felt like she took it okay, considering like I'm the kind of, I feel like this is my Canadian heritage, which is passive aggression that boils over into like curt demands.
Yes.
So like we don't express ourselves well north of the border, and people call that politeness, and we appreciate that very much. They're very generous.
Yeah, it's really some, that's spin.
That's
spin.
Like,
it's
pure spin. Terrific
spin. Yes.
But like, so the problem is not that I had that issue. The problem is that by the time I finally told her, I was kind of like, okay, if we could just, it was like too much edge to it, considering it's the first she'd ever heard.
Yeah, you were like,
it.
Stop tining with your teeth on the tines now.
Yeah. So I think like considering I hit her with that, she took it well, and then I was able to take a breath. And be
sorry,
like,
I can't help but notice that you just sniffed when you took that breath, and it's pissing me off.
I know, I have a slightly clogged nose.
Can I book you for an allergy test before we do another episode?
Yeah, book me for the fucking chairlift to the slope. That's all I need.
Do we have time for another
I could do one more.
Okay, you can.
Let's do one more.
Yeah.
Is that good? I think that that's I feel great about this episode.
I love this episode.
I think this is an electric episode.
We wish you lived here, and then we would be always on this episode.
It's truly. Oh my god! I'm pretty Toronto pilled right now.
Yes. Oh yeah?
No, Brandon. Can I ask? Because I know that you've been complaining about all the opportunities in LA. You're like, oh, the movies and the TV shows.
Oh, I know, it's such a headache. I bet.
What if we could replace that with a spot on a free, unsuccessful as of yet podcast once in a while?
And we might be able to get you an audition for Murdoch Mysteries, maybe.
Yeah. Oh my god! Would you like to play Tesla himself? Or,
hell yeah!
Or a famous old dog?
I could get a Crave credit.
Yes,
oh,
easily.
You could absolutely do a
Actually,
Crave
no,
special.
Why are we inviting more Americans here? They already take all of our opportunities.
No, oh, we love this. We love this.
Okay, we love this.
We want you to have a Crave special. I would love to see your jokes made 15% worse by production
by bad
value
editing. That'd be great. Okay, well, what have we got up
next?
Oh,
we're going to love this one. Okay. This is a real quick one that's going to be right in all of our ball houses. any advice on someone who wants to get into acting/improv who ain't a spring chicken in brackets 38? A 38-year-old who wants to get into acting/improv. What do we think?
Yeah. I don't know.
Oh, man, it's so hard to know.
To me, that's to start.
Wait, let's be careful not to do this sound too much.
Yeah.
Well, let me just say out of the gate, this is a big no from me. Yeah. Do not do it.
You're in for a world of hurt. Yeah. That's what you got to know first.
I don't know. I mean, that's, I don't know. People love to be like, well, Rodney Dangerfield.
I was just going to say,
How old was he when he started?
I don't know. Old.
I don't know. I didn't know that he was that old. But yeah, you've never seen him young. You never see clips of him young. Morgan Freeman started acting very late. Harrison Ford didn't get a break until he was very late 30s, early 40s.
Yeah.
And I know what? And I don't want to. This is so shit. This is the worst part about this question for me.
And if I may say, all those guys you listed started in improv.
That's not true. I believe everything.
They all went.
No, wasn't Harrison Ford like a set deck or like set carpenter?
He was like working on like Coppola's house and stuff. You know, he was building connections even before he had.
This is a hard one. I'm not the guy. I don't know. I'm 30.
When
now,
did you start everything?
I started when I was 17.
Yeah, you started young. You were a spring chicken.
Now I'm a former child prodigy.
Right. Yeah. And that is now a tough road as well.
Yeah.
No, that's only a tough road if you're not doing well and you're doing very well.
But you've got a bit of Finn Wolfhard's youth every time you hang out with him.
Yeah, absolutely.
You kind of take a small part of his youth.
Yeah.
He gets a little more haggard.
Well, yeah, I've been taking his blood.
I was 25. I've been doing it for like 10 years. I was 25 when I started.
38's not crazy.
38's not crazy.
It's like, especially like if this person's funny.
Yeah.
If you just like, you start doing it now. Just start.
Yeah. That's the only one way to find out. And it doesn't have to be high stakes. It's not like you're going to like quit all of your livelihood right away to see if it will
work. The barrier to entry for comedy is non-existent. You go to open mics and it's like, half the people there are fucking mentally ill.
Yes. If you're not mentally ill, you've already got a leg up.
You can just you can start. Or like if you have like the right level of mental illness.
Yeah,
you know?
You have to have a splash.
Let me parse this question for evidence of mental illness. Now there is some interesting spacing.
Okay. In the actual text, you mean?
In the text itself. No, I think we're probably dealing with someone who's got a head on their shoulders.
Yeah, because they've chosen probably a stable career for themselves up until now.
I wonder what it is.
But I hate to ask this, and this is like so irrelevant in many ways. But sadly for me, in my experience, this is relevant, is what their gender identity is or what gender track they're in. Because I find I am so much more worried about this for myself. I'm 35 years old. I'm seeing all these young girls. Oh, and they're cool, hot, pretty girls. And they all have abs and they're ripped. And they're all wearing crop tops.
Like these like post Instagram comics.
Absolutely,
and you go to their Instagram, it's like they look like a model.
They're a model.
Yeah.
And I'm only getting older and I can't help it. Because otherwise, if I'm not getting older, I'm dead and buried in the grave. And so that would really kill my chances.
Yeah.
So I can't help but being aging. Sure. And that scares me as a woman because
explained that well.
I don't think men think about this as much as I do because I'm like, oh, fucking hell. Thank God I did start when I did. Yeah. Even though I wish I started when I was 17.
Yeah.
So for this person.
Oof, I don't know. I don't know when it counts as start. I started improv in high school.
Okay.
But I was so bad.
Did they call it comedy sports?
No, we called it improv. I wish we called it comedy sports.
But that shouldn't matter.
I'm a bit of
but
an athlete myself.
I think that
myself.
This person will be fine. I mean, just start.
Just
and
try.
Then see what happens.
Yeah.
And I would say if you want to speed up the process, because you're starting kind of late, you should maybe pick an angle.
Yes, you
so
must.
Either I would say
like figure out if you can or cannot get respect.
Yeah, so come out the gate as just like either I would say go like full like edgelord, are you triggered?
Yes.
Yes.
Or
yes. That would be the fast
or
track.
Or be like, I'm 38 and non-binary.
Okay, yeah, one or the other.
So like go one of those two.
Do you
like,
know
go
what
one
I find
two.
For women that are like older than me, okay? Let's say like a generation before me in comedy, their angle a lot is, I'm a mom, but... Hold on. I smoke weed.
Yeah.
So you could do
your
that.
Your daddy's mom.
Yeah. I mean, it's so funny. That's daddy's mom.
That is such an angle. So yeah, you're right, Brendan. Yeah. You have to pick an angle. But yeah. I find that I've seen.
Start making merch now.
Immediately set up a booth. Set up a booth at the open mic.
Yeah.
Set up a booth at your first so ever funny. Mic. I have a friend who started comedy last year, and he was like, he sent me his first ever set. He's like, what do you think? Can I get notes? Do you want to do my show? I'm like, oh my God. I don't know if you're going to die or thrive because of your lack of shame.
Yeah. Shame, interesting.
Like, well, yeah, that's like, it is crazy that I'm glad that I started, not just like, who cares about like the age? Because I've like, there's so many comics my age that started later than me, and I remember starting early and being like, yeah, fuck college, man. Like,
right.
Who, like, I'm getting an early start on comedy. And then I met all of these people. Once I was like 25, 26, there were people my age on my level that like did go to college
and then started
at like 22 and then
right.
Succeeded. And I was like, oh yeah. Okay. Well, you know, this is, yeah, maybe I could have used a little more, formal education and like, I could have used a little more time in the oven.
Yeah, but you know what?
I definitely like, there's some stuff in my early 20s that they were gassing me up a little bit.
I
when
see.
I was
and
in
when
my
you
early
look back,
20s,
you're like, oh.
And I'm like, oh, they should not have been like, boosting this, you know, but
also you're not in debt, so any money
yeah,
you make
I mean,
from
that's
comedy,
nice.
you're
but ultimately, yeah, it's like it's fine. But I'm glad that I started the year that I started, right, which was like 2010,
right?
Yeah.
Because that was before. I cannot imagine starting now when there's like this pressure a year in to like be posting captioned
yes,
clips.
Absolutely. Yeah. You took the words right out of my mouth.
I don't
like,
know.
It's so much more daunting. But you know what?
Yeah.
And I know this, and I talk to Mark about this all the time. I don't post enough of that shit because I'm traumatized from like early days of internet with like the wild west of like cyberbully fucking incel freaks like commenting on clips. So I'm traumatized. It's not like that anymore, and I should just get over
it. Yeah, there's no more of that.
There wasn't a very many clips back then. So I felt really alone
back then.
And now it's like I would be fine.
Now,
it's fine.
Every day on your Explorer, you see like,
like yeah, caption.
Everybody's
videos.
Getting it.
Yeah.
Everybody's
yeah,
like, yeah.
Yeah, you just—it's just something you just have to get your grit and face it. But also, we have a friend who I won't say their name, but she's a little bit older than me only. That just start right. Well, she's like around like I don't know. I think she's she's in her mid late 30s.
Okay.
And she has not been doing stand-up very long, but she. I'm
trying to think of who you're talking about, but go on.
You were on their show on Friday, I think, or whatever.
Okay.
And she has such a unique voice that she's like her, and she doesn't even have an angle. She just no one sounds like her.
I know what you
Nobody
mean.
Nobody sounds like her. She doesn't sound like anyone else.
Yeah.
It's just
like an original,
very original voice.
We're talking
and
about
something
our,
that
we can say her name. We're talking about our gal Rebecca Payne.
We're talking about Rebecca Payne.
Yeah, she's
well. Yeah, this is I. So this person calling in. or writing in, I would say have a dynamic.
Have
like a singular dynamic voice.
Yeah. So just be really good.
And
yeah.
I like lean into either being "Are you triggered?" or "I'm non-binary."
Yeah. Yeah. Those. Are, yeah. You gotta pick one.
Yes. But being a dark edgelord is the fast track because you see all these edgelords that fucking suck, and it's just because people are like, "Oh my god, you're saying that," and then they have all these followers.
What's crazy though is that they're all saying the same thing. Yes. They're all like, oh, "I can't believe you're saying what that guy right before you said." Yes. Again. Oh, I get to hear these words again? Oh,
from
I love
you
it.
Now?
Yeah. Oh, I like his way of saying our word. Oh, I love it.
But also, this person said improv, right? I feel like there, and that's another thing, because you're not alone. There's going to be other people that are, there's always going to be someone worse off than you in an improv troupe.
Okay, there's no edgelord improv.
Yeah.
Oh my
new
god.
Angle.
That's
new
a
angle.
Fucking
there we go.
New angle.
There we go.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Can you imagine an edgy organic opening to an improv show? Whoa. Everyone kind of going, ooh, making sounds, but the sounds are slowly developing into kind of like a nice unified slur.
Yeah. There
that
we
would
go.
Be fucking nice.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
There you go.
Wow.
So that's your angles. Get it going and
we
set up that merch
table.
We need to
develop a racist zip zap zop.
Yeah. I can think of some words we could toss in there.
Yep.
Oh my god, the one and only improv class I ever took was at Bad Dog Theater. Yeah. And this was like just to put on my acting resume. Mm. I don't pursue improv. But there's this one guy in it that couldn't handle swearing. So anytime anyone swore in our stupid games, he'd like close up and like make a really big deal of it and have to be like, "Are you all right, man?"
Yeah.
Is that normal in an improv group?
Yeah,
no.
That's kind of, well, you have to have at least one of those in every improv group. That's
guy,
what we mean
a guy
by
that
diversity.
Can't handle.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have to have at least one repressed child who's going to throw an absolute fit anytime he hears something
swears.
Outside of his dictionary.
Yes, yeah. That's
everybody, what everybody. Every improv team needs one guy who, when they hear a cursor, is like,
That was him. He became like CP3O.
I say.
Yeah.
Oh, I suppose we're using language like that now.
So if this person writing in is very adverse to cussing and cursing, and they would like to make a show of that, then definitely it's never too late to start improv.
Wow. Well, that's very nice advice from both of you. And I'm just going to give something a little bit different. I'm just going to say, man, don't do it to get a career out
of it. Yes. No, absolutely not. You
actually
can't ever have that in mind.
No, I'm going to pivot.
Okay.
Quit your job. If you operate with the safety net, you're going to have a safety net mentality.
Yeah, you gotta
and you're never going to get
will
anywhere.
Appear. Leap and the net will appear.
To quote all of the kids who were featured in... Decline of Western Civilization Part 2, the heavy metal, hair metal version, you're not going to make it if you got a fallback plan. So go for it, and you can become the next Scorpions.
He should watch Crashing. He should study Crashing, a show where Pete Holmes at 38 plays himself 10 years before, and all of his peers play themselves at their current age.
Yeah,
you should watch that. Study that.
I think we nailed it. I think everyone is leaving here. Every questionee is leaving here with a really good piece of advice and on the right track.
Well, it is funny. Like, how long ago did they submit these?
Like 2 days ago.
Yeah, okay, 2 days ago.
Yeah,
okay.
It's all fresh. Like that woman is probably crying in her office now.
Yeah, waiting. For this episode to drop.
We try to answer these quickly because we know that there is, there's a ticking clock on some of these people's lifespan.
There's
an urgency.
We
don't know how long that mom's going to be around sniffling.
She might be dead by the time we put this episode out.
Yeah.
And blissful silence.
Oh, and then you're gonna miss her sniffling so much, you ungrateful little shrew.
That's what you have to remember.
You should be grateful.
You should picture never hearing that sniffle again.
Yeah.
That's what women say about when they're frustrated with motherhood and they're just like their babies are driving them crazy. Picture being 20 years from now and you'll never have this little baby again. And then who's crying?
Yeah. That's what I tell my girlfriend anytime I do a number two a little bit on the seat and I waddle around like a little duck in the home. I say, these seem like flaws now, but imagine we're not together anymore.
See, I didn't think it was that kind of podcast.
Well, it only happens at the 11th hour.
Nasty poo-poo talk.
Just waddling around like a little...
Talking about boo-booing on himself.
A plucked pond duck, a little scummy duck.
It's nasty.
Now the people are leaving dumber.
Yeah.
It is. That is funny, though. That is actually, that is, I do think the like walking around with your pants and underwear around your ankles, yeah, and like, it's like, it's objectively funny. It's,
it would
like,
be funny, and funny. It would be a funny thing to subject your girlfriend to on a weekly basis.
Yeah, well, just wait. Imagine you didn't get to see this anymore, how much you'd miss it.
Yeah, I do feel that way. Honestly, that's obviously an exaggeration of my home bits, but I do feel like some of my most annoying home bits, she'd miss them if they were gone.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Time for her to take that in advisance.
We all have to take that home with us.
Yep.
So write in. We need to encourage people to write in.
Please write in.
The link is available on our socials.
Yeah.
For an anonymous form.
Yeah, what's the socials?
Well, right now it's just our personal socials. So go through, Jackie, what's your Twitter, Instagram handles?
At Jackie Pirico.
At Jackie Pirico. That's Pirico. And you can find her there. And then we're going to have a show link soon enough.
And we thank Brandon so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Brandon. We've had to say goodbye to Brandon. That's fine.
What you have to do when guys are in town. Their itineraries are packed.
He's a busy boy.
Busy boy.
Okay, so for this final segment, Jackie, we're going to talk about a fictional character who made big choices in their brief time in the limelight, mm-hmm, and find out what we think about those choices.
Great.
And today, the character that I wanted to talk about is Daniel Hillard. Do you know Daniel Hillard?
Oh, God, no. See, I think that you look at more fiction than me.
No, you're going to know Daniel Hillard in a second.
Daniel Hillard,
let me read from the film that Daniel Hillard is in.
Okay.
This is the character's
name.
Right,
the character's name.
Daniel Hillard is a freelance voice actor living in San Francisco. You know now.
Right away.
Though a devoted father to his three children, 14-year-old Lydia, 12-year-old Chris, and 5-year-old Natalie, his wife Miranda considers him unreliable. One day, Daniel quits his job following a disagreement over a morally questionable script and returns home to throw a chaotic birthday party for Chris, despite Miranda's objections. This infuriates Miranda to the point where she files for divorce. At their first custody hearing, the court grants sole custody of the children to Miranda. Shared custody is contingent on whether Daniel finds a steady job and a suitable residence within 3 months. Long story short, Miranda needs a nanny, and Daniel impersonates a British woman to become Mrs. Doubtfire.
Okay, I knew all of that was ringing a bell up until when you said Mrs. Doubtfire.
Wait, who did you think it was initially?
Of course, I knew it right away. I knew it immediately. I just forgot that was his last name, Hillard.
Yeah,
or Hillard.
I didn't know.
But Daniel,
either.
Of course, I remember her just always being like, Daniel, Daniel.
Oh, really?
Like Sally Field being like, Dan. I remember him being Daniel.
I don't remember that movie at all. I only remember him saying, hello.
Oh,
and then
my God.
I remember him accidentally giving the peppered jambalaya to Pierce Brosnan. And
of course. But
to
don't you remember him. With him and Harvey Fierstein was his brother? Harvey Fierstein was his brother? Matchmaker, make me a match. He's like, his brother's like this like makeup, Hollywood makeup artist that does him over.
Okay.
Oh, I love that part. Or at the start where he's doing the voice work, like you see him voicing this cartoon, like Figaro, Figaro, Figaro. And it's just so fun to like watch Robin Williams like doing the cartoon voice work.
What's the morally questionable cartoon?
It was something about a lady or like some ladies in distress or like, or I don't remember the morally question,
really,
but he
pulls
was
on your ethical
yeah
strings.
It was pulling on his. But then can you imagine, my dream job is like cartoon voice work. It's like what I'm trying so hard to get my foot in the door to. Imagine I was like watching the animated action and like voicing this thing and this huge opportunity in this glitzy glam like sound studio, and then I'm like, actually, you know what, I don't like what's happening here creatively. I'd be like, the cartoon could be about anything.
Oh yeah, I do work in the world of cartoon voice work, and I have closed the door on you. I've kicked the ladder out to my close friend. I don't want you in there. There's enough competition. I don't want you taking my roles, such as man. And grandfather.
No, most of the opportunities I've had in the voice work industry are from you.
But I will. Oh, thank you so much. And
thank you.
Frankly, thank you. but I will say this, that you're right. I've voiced so many things that, sure, maybe they're morally questionable. Did I need to do the voice of the Führer in the animated Triumph of the Will? Maybe not. Did I need to do the voice of the narrating Führer in the animated Mein Kampf? No, I didn't need to. Did I need to do the voice of the Dream Führer in the fictional Mussolini's Last Thoughts?
Of course not, but you've got to get your foot in that door.
I gotta get my foot
it's
in the door.
It's such a competitive industry.
And here's the thing is that once you've got your foot in the door and you're all the way in the door, sometimes it's fun to just keep your foot.
Being the Führer.
Be the foot. once you're in the room, you realize that they can ask you to leave the room unless you do exactly what they want at all times.
Yes, anything they want.
Oh my God, the number of like ethically questionable parties I've gone to for these voice directors who ask you to do anything. I've had to go ass to ass with so many different Toronto voice actors for the pleasure of...
In a ring? Was it in a ring situation?
Oh my God.
With all the voice casting agents around throwing cash on the ring, ass to ass.
Nelvana executives just screaming at me, telling me that they'll get back to me when the legal department has had enough time to vet my contract. But in the meantime, they need 6 months of ass to ass. So, yes, I understand that you have to compromise your morals. So really, this movie is about, Mrs. Doubtfire is about an entitled voice actor who thought he was above the kind of compromise that comes with the territory.
Yes, he thought he was above that. And then in the midst of that conflict, where he was standing up for some morality, he forgot the birthday party. So he had to throw a birthday party last minute for his kids. And that's why it was so chaotic. But no, what was so chaotic about it, which is more putting a spotlight on Miranda's character, was that there was a hip hop playing. Remember? It was like, jump around, get up, and get, jump down. Remember? Like Cypress Hill? Like, and that was the craziest part. There's kids jumping on the couch and Cypress Hill was playing. And
jumping. She couldn't handle.
Jump, jump.
Wow.
And then she came home and she was like, Daniel.
Yeah. Then she switched. She got record scratch. And she put really on her preferred music, which was sit around.
get down and sit down.
Yeah. So I'm realizing as you talk about it that I don't remember this movie at all.
Okay, I remember a lot of it.
But I do find it funny that the beginning of Mrs. Doubtfire and the beginning of Hook are so similar.
Oh, yeah.
Robin Williams playing bad fathers.
Yes, but you know what? I think he was a way worse father in Hook. Like in this one, he was like a really fun dad.
Yeah, that's true. He in Hook, he was too fun, arguably,
and he was career obsessed.
And he kept missing his child's baseball game.
Yes, yes.
He'd
grown up way too much.
Here's what we're talking about. We're talking about the various choices made by Mrs. Doubtfire, or by Daniel Hillard in the film Mrs. Doubtfire. This is a character who chose to quit his job because of morality concerns. He chose to impersonate many nannies in order and do a
to
bad
land
job
on that one.
So that they could only get the one nanny, and then that would be him in drag. And so he decided to impersonate a fake British nanny, Mrs. Doubtfire.
Scottish, I think.
Scottish. And then it led to a calamitous Heimlich maneuver fiasco in the restaurant.
Yes. Oh, yeah, that's when he was right, because his like freaking face fell off.
His face fell off. Now, I want to know, and obviously things worked out for Daniel Hillard.
Yeah.
I think at the end he gets joint custody.
He got joint custody. Yeah, they didn't. That's what I like. They didn't sugarcoat it. Like, they didn't get back together. He got joint custody. He had a nice place of his own. Oh, and then he got his own puppet show. Oh, yeah. He got his own show as Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, oh, like a Mrs. Dress Up. Yeah, like he played her on the show because the guy, like some network exec, like saw him doing it.
Yeah, in the Wikipedia plot summary, they said that the executive saw him playing with dinosaur toys and doing a voice.
Yes,
which is psychotic.
Yeah, that's psychotic. Imagine.
If I saw a grown person doing that at work or anywhere, I would not
think generously of it. Oh, yeah, because he got a job like, right. It's all coming back to me now.
So here's what I want to know. Now, obviously, here's the question. Do the ends justify the means? Obviously, things worked out for old Daniel Hillard.
Mm-hmm.
Is that how you would have done it? If you were giving Daniel Hillard advice, would you have sent him down this path?
You know what? In these situations, the courts in custody, you as a dad, as a man in the courts with the custody, you haven't got a shot in hell.
Oh yeah, let's make this custody. Let's make this MRA. No, men do not have a chance in the custody
with
battle.
Custody, they
this
don't.
This is what my pickup artist group is always saying, and I couldn't agree more. And the problem is these bitches.
Yeah, it's the bitches, and so they have this whole rules of this kind of like game that you have to play when you go into court and like neg the judge.
You have to neg the judge. You have to wear one piece of flair that will appeal to the judge, like a bit of a powdered wig.
Yeah.
You wear a powdered wig and the judge will be like, ooh, where'd you get that?
Just like a powdered kind of bang.
Yeah, one powdered bang, a powdered eyelash.
But look, I think he did what he had to do, and he used all of his resources around him. He used his brother, who was like a Hollywood makeup and special effects. He leaned on his own career, his voice acting, his acting, his improv. Very resourceful.
But it's
to circumvent these courts.
But it was a crazy choice. Like, if all the court wanted was for him to get a steady income and a place to live, wouldn't it have been simpler just to do those things?
He needed to see the kids right away.
He's a fiend for the kids.
He's a fiend. He couldn't get enough of those kids.
That's codependence.
But look, I think that he did what he had to do. It was a big choice. It was really risky. There's a lot of compromising moments where it could have all felt like crumbled around him, and it did.
You're right. You love an elaborate
ruse. Absolutely.
I missed that.
Yeah,
aspect.
I love a ruse. If it means you don't have to confront the responsibilities or the delicate conversation right in front of you.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, get put on a wig.
Now here's why I differ with the Mrs. Doubtfire ethic is that I have always like fetishized what I would call the like the passionate cultures.
Okay.
Like the cultures that like scream at each other, families that scream at
each
other.
Oh, so Mediterranean.
Yeah, Mediterranean, like Eastern European.
Italians.
I feel. Yeah.
Okay, you like when people are screaming.
I love it when you're
Why
like,
did you come from a household that didn't have that at all?
Buttoned up to the neck.
My goodness, not me.
I don't know what I'm suggesting Daniel Hillard, a.k.a. Mrs. Doubtfire, to have done, but I think what I'm saying is he should have grabbed Sally Field by the collar. And really had it out.
No, I'm not going anywhere.
Although I do think that that would
That's
have led
a big
to worse.
Choice.
Yeah, that would have led to something
it's
worse.
It's so funny that you say that about that. Okay, because I grew up in a family where you know, there was a lot, there wasn't any tiptoeing like that.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of kind of explosive. I saw my parents fight when I was a kid. I was a really bad teen. I had screaming matches with my parents. I was bad. And but there was never nothing was ever repressed.
Yeah.
But, and then I'm very close with my family because of that, I think. We just say what we think and we're not skirting around anything. And we're very open with each other and we laugh and laugh and laugh as well.
I guess what I'm saying for Mrs. Doubtfire is that, you know, sure, entertain your evasive daydreams or whatever for a bit. Maybe you show up and you nanny a couple days. But at a certain point, you got to look in the mirror, see the clown makeup on your face.
Take off the makeup. Take off the nose.
Go, yeah, take off the wig and the nose. Walk up to Sally Field and say, it's me. I was Mrs. Doubtfire, but I'm hurting. I love my kids. I hear you when you say you want me to get a job, but I don't think the party was that chaotic.
It really wasn't.
I think there's a bit of a racist undertone to you calling kids dancing to rap music chaotic.
Chaotic.
I'm not calling you racist, but...
But if I had to say it in court, I might.
And I'm ready to take you back to court on those grounds.
And the court proceedings, if I remember correctly, were so... contained. He was just like, oh, okay. And then he went immediately to the scheming.
Yeah.
There wasn't even an appeal or what? I got no custody.
What? Your Honor, what? Your Honor.
Sorry,
come again.
What? But it is arguably one of the biggest choices in cinema to go completely under in disguise around people who have known you. You could have so much confidence in your acting abilities.
Oh, that
to people
movie,
that have known you for your own children.
Oh, that movie's lucky it had lighthearted music. Otherwise, it would have been an absolute psychological horror film.
Yes.
That's no different from the character he played in One Hour Photo. Insomnia.
All those dark, his dark era.
So you think the choice was good.
I think he did what he had to do.
And
more.
And the proof is in the pudding, you know? Listen, I'm at a disadvantage here, trying to play devil's advocate to you, because you have the advantage of the film is honoring your decision here. It's honoring
and
your choice.
And for some reason, the film is very fresh in my mind.
Yes, that's true too.
Yeah.
I'm saying there could have been a better way.
Yeah.
But maybe.
You don't know what it is other than grabbing Sally, some light domestic violence.
Yeah, just verbal aggression.
Yeah.
This has been an episode of How Can We Help?
It has.
We found out a lot of opinions. We learned a lot. We got to sit in Stefan's apartment
for the
first time.
Beautiful apartment.
We got to chat with Brandon Wardell, who's now long gone.
Long gone. We are in his rear view, which is sad for us.
That is sad for us.
Of this night and in life.
He's somewhere out in the city of Toronto right now, bumping lines Uber driver's ass.
All right, that has to be the cap.
Yeah. All right.
All right.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Sonar Network.